Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Now, that same day of the week, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which he was going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over." Then he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, "It's true. The Lord's risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus had been recognized by them when he broke the bread. Gospel of the Lord. Would you please be seated? Could I have the children come down for the children's sermon? We're going to start off. I want to show you a video this morning. Okay.
My sister and her family have lived in New York for like 8 years now. She took care of me when I was a little kid because my parents were working.
Every Sunday I cook, and so my uncle calls me and he'll be like, "Hey, what you making?"
Nobody meets in bars anymore, but I met my wife in a bar, and 34 years later, still working.
My grandma had a lot of costumes from the theater that she started. When we were kids, we'd dress up in those costumes and we'd put on little sketches for the family.
In my whole life, I've always felt like we were like a team, my brother and I. I think there's nobody who can understand you quite like your family.
That's my cousin.
That's really weird.
Thank you.
I know she's not homeless because I just hung out with her a couple weeks ago, but I mean, it's, I did not know that that person walking, when I was walking by, it was her.
It's, you know, things are a lot more real than you expect, so.
You know, as we listen to or we read the story of the journey of the two men from Jerusalem to Emmaus, the really big question, the elephant in the room, is why didn't they recognize Jesus? And over the years, there's been a lot of explanations given to that. Some people say, well, the sun, the angle that he was walking, the sun was in their eyes, and they really couldn't make out who it was. Other people say that, maybe he had like a cloth over here and kind of was partially covered up. Sometimes people have said that he looked just a little bit different than he had before. And there are still others who say that supernaturally they were kept from recognizing who he was. And those are all plausible explanations, but I don't think it's a real reason. I think the real reason that they didn't recognize who Jesus was on the road is they didn't expect to see Jesus on the road any more than those people expected to see their relatives on the streets of New York City. For them, their leader, their teacher, their rabbi, he was dead. And for all intents and purposes, all of their hopes, all of their dreams, everything that they had put their lives on for all this time was over and done. And as Jesus walked with them, they expressed that. They said this, "He'd been a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God, and we'd hoped he was the one to redeem Israel, but now he's dead." And then we'll just switch over to the Message version a little bit. "Then to top it off, some of the women have completely confused us. They came back with this story that they'd seen a vision of angels and said he was alive. But you know the thing is, nobody believed the story. Nobody thought the story was true. They thought, those poor women, they've just lost their mind. We knew that they loved him. We knew that they cared about him a great deal. But what in the world is going on? Yeah. We went. There's no body. But nobody had seen Jesus. And so they treated it all as just a wild tale, an idle tale. And so they're on their way back home. It's time to get back on with life the way it ought to be. Back to day-to-day living. And as they reached the town where they lived, or perhaps where there was a bed and breakfast, they invited Jesus to come in and to sit down with them and have a meal. And while he's there, he picks up a piece of bread and he breaks it, and at that moment, they recognize who he is. Now, there are a lot of people who believe, or will say, that what that was he broke the bread for communion, or similar to a communion, and they recognized him. And I'm not one of those. I don't think that's what happened either. See, those guys weren't there when Jesus celebrated communion with the 12, and that had only been a couple days before. But they had followed him around, and they had seen him. And they had watched him break bread. And bread was something that people had almost every meal. It was one of those day-to-day things that people had. And so what changed their mind, what woke them up, whatever you want to call it, was the fact that they recognized something that they had seen day in and day out. It was just an everyday, ordinary occurrence. Like, think about people that you know. Don't they have little traits, quirks, tics that helps you to recognize who they are? That's what this was. It was in the ordinary, everyday thing of life that they recognized Jesus. Because you see, that's where they were headed back to. Passover was over. The celebration was over. Their dreams were over. Time to get back on with life. Kind of the way it is in the church right now. Lent's over. Holy Week's over. Easter's over. So what do? Well, we get back into the everyday, ordinary thing of life, don't we? So the question to ask ourselves as we think about our lives, as we think about this lesson, is this. As you go through your day, do you expect to see Jesus? As you go through your day, do you look for him? Do you look for him in the things that happen and are said as you go about your day-to-day lives? Do we actually look for him? See, I think most of us would like to see him. How many of you would like to see Jesus? Raise your hand. If you don't, raise your hand, then I'll see you after church and we'll have a long talk. Okay, so, you know, we all want to see him, but the way that we often want to see him is we expect him to do what? Something spectacular. Come on, God, if you're going to do something, let me know that you're there. Puff of smoke. A few magic words. Do something amazing. Then I might believe. Otherwise, but I'm not so sure that's how God operates all the time. I think God operates in a whole different system than that. How many of you have ever seen the movie Oh God with George Burns? Okay. Well, in that movie that he's got, George Burns plays God, and he has this line, which I think is a really cool line. He said, "I'm not sure how this whole miracle business got started. The idea that anything connected with me has to be a miracle, personally, I'm sorry that it did. Makes the distance between us even greater." You see, God isn't there in just the miraculous puff of the smoke, change your life type of stuff. What God wants us to see and understand and to know that he's here and what? In the day-to-day stuff that we do and see and experience. God is there when life no longer makes sense. God is there when the things that used to be important or we thought were important or that really mattered no longer are. God's there when we're having trouble hearing his voice. And I don't know about you, but there are times I really have a hard time doing that. God is there when we wonder, are you really listening to me and why aren't you speaking? We want God to come down and change it all, just magically. And that's not what it's all about. God is there in the midst of all those things. But what we often do is we close our eyes and wish that they were gone. Wish that they would just magically disappear. And what we really need to do is to open our eyes and to see God. To just that little glimpse of who and what he is. God usually doesn't just magically make stuff happen. But instead, it's God that allows us to see, to experience, to take that next step, that next look that we need to take within our lives. Who gives us the strength, the ability, the hope, the courage to just go one more day It's not about magically changing. It's about strength to go on. It's, you know, kind of like nudging us, pushing us, keeping us going. So do we? Do we look for him? Do we see him? Do we notice? Or are we so busy, so intent, running around so much, doing all this stuff, that if he stood right there smack in front of us, we wouldn't even know it? But you know, there's a flip side to this question, and I'll make this one short. And that is that not only are we called to look for God, but we're also called to do what? To mirror God, to be his reflection, to be his body, to be his hands, his eyes, his ears, his presence within the world. So the question is, as we go through our day, not only do we look for Jesus, but do we look for ways in which we can show him to other people? Back in the 17th century, there was a monk by the name of Francis. Now, Francis was not a real well-educated guy, and he was kind of a klutz. You know, one of those kind of people that can't walk and chew gum at the same time without falling into something. And so he never really made it high in the monk world. Instead, they put him doing things they figured he could handle, like washing pots and pans, scrubbing floors, cooking meals, you know, just that day-to-day stuff. And yet, when people came to visit the monastery, do you know who they were most impressed with? It was Francis. Because there was an air of peace and just a genuine sense of God's presence living within him. And as years went by, people wanted to know more about this. And so he wrote a little book, and it's called Practice of God's Presence. And if you have not read this book, you can read it and just... you can read it in an afternoon. It's an amazing little book. Take the time. Go read it. But in it, he makes this quote. Men invent means and methods of coming to God's love. They learn rules, set up devices to remind them of that love. Okay. Here's the line you want to remember. Okay. Is it not quicker and easier just to do our common business wholly for the love of him? So basically, whatever you say, whatever you do it with Christ in mind. So we can take the lesson, we can take Brother Francis, and basically it comes down to this. As we go through our lives, we go through the day-to-day things that we do. That's where God is. Look for him. Don't walk by. Don't close your eyes. And at the same time, look for ways to be his presence, to be his living body in the world in which we live. And as you do it, just remember this. It sounds really simple, but it's hard. But it's what we're called to do. Amen. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.